God and he's worthy. He's a good God and he's able. And we praise you and we magnify you, oh God. You want to be mindful of Brother Kendall this week and pray for his family. And as we find out the arrangements for his mom and for those services, we'll be making that known to the church. But just lift them up. There's nobody like Jesus. Every day of the week, there's nobody like Jesus, any time and any place. But when you're in a valley of trouble, you know him in a very, very special way. And he's a wonderful friend. He's the lily of the valley, and he walks with us. He is our comforter, and he is our strength. Praise God. Praise God. So God is doing wonderful things, and we count it a privilege to be a part of the kingdom of God and what he's doing. Now, next Sunday morning is going to be an interesting service. I thank God for all that he's doing, and I praise and I magnify him. There's been revival in the nursery, and we're going to have the largest baby dedication that we've ever had. So we'll have a lot of family and grandparents and all kinds of folks here, lots of family support and visitors here. We'll also, because we're suspending Sunday school, we'll have all of our Sunday school staff and our school staff. Now, they're here for the dedication service, but they're also here because Sunday morning next week, Lowe's is coming to make a presentation to New Life Academy. And it's going to be a very important moment for our church. We don't know exactly the sequence of events yet because we don't know how much time they're going to need. But there's going to be situations where they're going to be taking pictures with all the school kids and their staff, and their parents are going to be here also. So we're going to have a different kind of service next Sunday morning. And we're very excited about the prospect of what God's going to do and what that service is going to mean. So we'll just kind of be waiting to hear what their needs are and what their time restraints are, because they're going to be making some presentations in the service. So we'll just kind of go with that, and we want them to take all the time they want, and we want them to take their liberty, and we want to celebrate the school, and we want to use that for a special time for the church. Now, and we're going to have a baby dedication. So it's just going to be a busy, busy morning. I think God's going to come down on it, and it's going to be an awesome time in the house. And we'll talk about it more on Sunday night after everything has settled down and we're back together. And we'll try to regroup and talk about what God has done. But it's going to be one of those moments where you say, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And so we want to be in prayer for that, and that God will give us, because we'll have access to people that are not normally in an apostolic service. So we want to walk in wisdom and have understanding about how we should deal with them. And we just want God to touch them, because it's not by might nor is it by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so God is, he knows all of them. He knows their goings and their comings, and he knows their hearts. And there's people in that group that'll be here next Sunday morning that God wants to fill with the Holy Ghost, and he's been ministering to them, and I think it's a setup. So we're going to just kind of flow with the Holy Ghost, and we're going to see what God will do. And everybody said amen. Praise God. You want to pray for your church family that's on the road? We have a lot of folks that are very sick. Sister Charlotte Trejo is in the hospital in Pell City and has, at last report, pneumonia. And we want to be in prayer for her. And a lot of our babies are sick. So just be in prayer that God will let the gift of healing flow through the church, and that he'll cleanse us of all these sicknesses and toxins and get us back on track and help us to go and come as we need to in the house of God and in our own homes. And everybody say amen. Praise God. So it's really good to have Lindsay and Ella in the house tonight. And we're getting used to that. And all these new babies. Goodness gracious. New babies everywhere. I have come to... You forget a season when you're in it, and when you're not in it for a period of time. And I have forgotten how pervasive baby puke is, and how it... Oh, you start picking up your clothes, saying, "Is this? No, I'm okay. I'm all right. I don't have yogurt on me." They're just little terrorists. They just puke all over everything and cause all kinds of excitement. But aren't they precious, and aren't they wonderful? And we are wall to wall with these folks. This revival in the nursery has been going on for a little while now. And you're going to blink, and they're going to be rug runners, and then they're going to be 10-year-olds, and then you blink, and they'll be teens. And I'm amazed at what God does in His house. We're going to continue tonight in 1 John chapter 5. If you have your Bible or your phone or your pad, or you've just gone altogether lazy and you don't bring anything to church anymore because you read it on the screen, one day the screen will go down and you'll be Bible-less. You'll need your word. You need to carry it just because it has heft and strength. But I teach so many Bible studies now that they just use their phone. And it is the Word of God. There's nothing sacred about that book. Nothing sacred about the paper, the leather, the cover. When He first gave it, He gave it on a rock. And He gave it on stone because it was emblematic of the record of God established, unmoving. And when Moses brought them between Gerizim and Ebal, they put monuments up on those mountains, one the mountain of cursing and the other the mountain of blessing, and they chiseled it into the stone. They wrote the Word of God on stone. So through the years and in God's history with His people, the Word of God has come in many ways. It doesn't matter if you carry it on a phone or on a pad or on your PC or whatever, but you better have it hidden in the heart. You better have it down inside you and carved into the recesses of your mind, because we are in those kinds of days, and the Word of God is the strength of God in your life. 1 John chapter 5 and beginning in verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. We worked on this Wednesday night, again this morning, and again this evening. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear record or bear witness in earth: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. And if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. God bless you. As you're seated tonight, let's give Him thanks and praise for His word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise You, mighty God, and we thank You, Lord God, and we worship You and magnify You. What a good God. Come on, has He been good to you? Let's give Him a little high praise. Loose your voice, lift your voice, and magnify Him. What a good God. How worthy, how worthy, how worthy. Praise God. And so on Wednesday and again this morning, we're dealing with the record that is born in heaven. The record in heaven is born by the Father, by the Word, and by the Holy Ghost. And we won't revisit all of that discussion. But it is a fact that the record of God is in heaven. It is settled forever in the heavens. God has a record in the heaven of what He's done, all that He's done, and what He said, all that He said, and the promises that are in place, everything that He has promised and everything that He has guaranteed. He has encapsulated all of the time and the history of the earth in His word, and He's made promises about what He will do and how He will do it, and the prophecy encapsulated encapsulates it all. And there's going to be an event on the timeline of man, just like God promised it. There are many things we can look back in history and see where the prophecy has occurred exactly like the word of God prophesied. And now we're standing in the present here, and on the strength of what God has already done, we know that everything else that he's promised will come to pass exactly like he said. The prophecy has shaped the Middle East, and Israel is back in the land, and the nations are aligned according to the word of God. And the Holy Ghost has been poured out in unprecedented ways all over the earth, and there are more people right now that are speaking in tongues and full of the Holy Ghost in the earth than ever before in all the history of the earth. And it's because the word of God has gone forth, and the prophecy of God has gone forth, and there is a record in heaven of all that God has said and all that he set in motion. And there will be an end to the age that we live in, because the record says so. And there will be the dawning of a new age called the millennial, because the record says so. And at the end of that 1,000-year period, there will be a judgment of everything that's ever lived on the earth, because the record says so. And there will be an eternity in heaven for those that have made themselves reconciled to God, because the record says so. And there will be an eternity in hell for those who have wandered and squandered their lives and never found their origins in God and never made their hearts right with God, because the word of God says so. And there's no other option. There's no alternative to the word of God. Oh, there are among men and among the philosophies of men, but no reality there, because the greater, the only reality is the reality of the record of the word of God. The record of the word of God is available for everybody that will investigate it, everybody that will pursue it. There, it will be open. It is open now to anyone who hungers for it. It will be open to all at the white throne judgment. The record of God is the heavenly template. It's the vision of God. It is God's universal law. It is God's plan. God's record sweeps away all of the alternatives and all of the excuses, and it indicts all of those that reject it, just like a statute in a proceeding in a courtroom among men. It doesn't matter how you finesse and what you say and how articulate you are and how many people agree with you and how many witnesses you line up. If there is a statute in the law that has all the weight, and no other testimony has any weight at all. In the courtroom of God, it is that way. In the courtroom of men, people make judgments based on feelings and subjective things, but that's not going to be the way it is in the courtroom of God. But God's word is already spoken. It's already established in the heavens. The Father bears record in the heavens. He's the Father. He's the Creator. He owns it all. We just kind of rehearsed that at length this morning. We can't go back. But we, as his creation, we are answerable to him. If we live outside of God's creative purpose, this is an affront. This is a contradiction to God. We are his vessel. We have to serve his purpose. We are his field. We have to raise what he desires to come up in his field. We are his bride. We have to be submitted to him. He is our head. He is our leadership in our lives. The record of God is established in the heavens according to what the Father has set in place. And it is established. We understand he wrote it in stone for Moses, but where it's written in the heavens, the stones of the earth will be ground to powder. They're going to disappear with a fervent heat, but the record of God in the heavens will always be lodged in the heaven, and erosion can't touch it, and the rigors of time can't change it. And you need to understand the record is in heaven, and the Father bears record in heaven. And he looks on you tonight, and he might be pleased with you for your response to him, or he might be saying, that's not the way I made you. That's not my plan for you. That's not the record that I have for you concerning your home or your marriage or your behavior or your lifestyle in the heavens. Being reconciled to God is what redemption is all about. The Word bears record in heaven. As the Word, He is God manifest in the earth. He is God revealed, Spirit revealed in the earth. As the Word, He is God at work in the earth as Redeemer, as Deliverer. He is the way, the truth, the life. The record is this: God made a way. In regard to the Father, the record is this: God made it all. God owns it all. All of it is responsive to God. God made it all. God owns it all. It is the servant of God. And anything outside of God's will is in contradiction to God. As the Word of God, he has established this record, that God has made a way for redemption, and God has made a way for reconciliation. And there is a way back to God, and the way is known. And He shed enough blood for everybody's sins, and the way is big enough for everybody to make their way back to God. Now that is the record of God established in the heavens. Praise God. The Holy Ghost bears record in heaven. God in you. The Holy Ghost is God in you. The Holy Ghost is Christ in you. The Holy Ghost is the Father in you. And He's working His purposes in your life. He's God at work in the believer's heart and soul. He is God transferring His nature and His qualities and His gifts and His capacities to you. The record is this, that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. I'm telling you, all excuses fall to the wayside. Every objection is empty and vapid and has no power in the courtroom of God. The record is this: I gave you everything you need. The record is this: I've given you power to overcome. The record is this: greater is He that is in you than he that is in the earth or he that is in the world. That's the record of God. There is no excuse. There is no reason big enough. There is nobody big enough to frustrate you and your success in the kingdom of God if you will obey and embrace the Word of God. That is established. There is a record. Tonight, if the enemy comes to you and says, you can't make it, you say, no, in the record book of God, God has made a way for me. If the enemy says your family can't make it, no, sir, in the record book of God, there is already an image of my life and my family, my marriage. Somebody ought to give God praise and magnify Him tonight. The record is, as God has given us everything that we need, we are empowered. We are without excuse. He has poured out His Holy Ghost, enough of it to fill everyone, enough of it to keep your lamp burning bright until the bridegroom comes. Enough of it to overthrow every hindering, lying, subversive thing. God has given you enough. And then in our text, and there are three that bear, that was review, and there are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. The record is in heaven, but the Spirit, the water, and the blood witness in the earth. It means they testify in the earth and they hold witness in the earth. Three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, that's capital, that's God's Spirit, the water, and the blood, and they agree in one. They witness the heavenly record in the earth. They say it is so. They say and they agree that God is true and God's plan is right, and that what God has spoken is and has and will come to pass in the earth. The witness of the Spirit is broad And it is pervasive and extremely comprehensive. The witness of the Spirit involves speaking in tongues as a witness of the Spirit. Isaiah said it this way, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people." This is prophecy. This is 7 centuries before the coming of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. To whom he said, "This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear." And so from 600 some odd years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah said there's going to come a day when God's going to pour out his Spirit. Joel is going to say the same thing. But Isaiah says, here's how it's going to come. It's going to come with stammering lips and another tongue. Anybody talking tongues today? Anybody talking tongues when you got the Holy Ghost? Anybody feel the presence of God and pray through and talk in tongues? Today, you are a witness. The Holy Ghost, when you speak in tongues, is witnessing to the record of God and saying it is true in the up. Oh, there's another one talking in tongues, the truth of God. Oh, there's another one talking in tongues. The record of God is witnessed in the earth. Every new one that is filled, it's the witness of God in the earth that the record of God is true. Every time a newborn speaks in tongues, it is the beginning of a brand new witness in the earth. We're lined up all over the globe right now. There's this sweet-smelling sacrifice, according to Malachi, coming up from the Gentiles before God, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. And every time it erupts, it is a witness to the veracity of God, to the record of God, to the power of God, to the truthfulness of God. Somebody say amen. And when Paul's talking about Isaiah's prophecy, he moves as he's delivering a message or a teaching, a lesson on the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 14. And he says, in the law, and he's speaking about Isaiah, it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign. It is a witness. It is a signal. Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. It is powerful for us. It's wonderful for us. It convinced me. It convicted me. It was powerful in my life. But tongues are a sign to those that don't believe. It doesn't matter if they read the sign. It doesn't matter if they embrace the sign. God's plan is not affirmed or validated by the response of men. God's plan doesn't care if there's 8 million on the boat or 8 on the boat. The boat is still the plan of God. But I want you to know, every time you talk in tongues, you are a billboard. You are a sign. You are a validation of the promise of God happening in the earth, and it's a sign to those that believe not. But to them that believe not, prophecy serves them that believe. For as many as are led, Romans chapter 8, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit of God is the witness. There are 3 that bear witness in the earth. The Spirit. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry. And this is another reference to that utterance that comes to you with the Holy Ghost. When you first get it, it's like baby talk. It's like just the chatter of a little baby. Abba, Father, is like Dada or Mama, the first utterances of a little child. And that's what Paul's delivering here. We say, Abba, Father. We talk to him in our early development of that language that he's given us. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit has come to witness that we are the children of God. Every time you talk in tongues, it witnesses to you, we are the children of God. Every time you talk in tongues, it witnesses to your brother, your sister, we are the children of God. Every time you talk in tongues, it witnesses to the world at large that God's word is true and the record of God is true. Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. What a good God. Somebody talk in tongues. Somebody be a witness. Somebody let the Holy Ghost witness through you. The Spirit of God witnesses of that heavenly record, that thing that is established in the heavens. The Spirit of God witnesses to us and by it leads us into all truth. The Spirit of God is the Spirit that spoke that record into existence. Now He is housed within us and leads us and guides us into all truth. The Spirit of God within us witnesses to us as to what is truth. It identifies truth and by doing so identifies what is false, what is not of God. The Spirit of God witnesses in us, and the anointing of the Spirit destroys the yoke. And we witness tonight of the fact that the Spirit of God has delivered us from so many things. Has anybody had the Spirit of God come down in your life and give you victory over something that had you bound up before? I want you to understand that is a witness. There are three that bear witness in the earth. The first is the Spirit, and the Spirit, by the anointing of the Spirit, delivers us and destroys the yoke. By preaching, we witness the Spirit. By prayer, we witness the heavenly record. Prayer in the Spirit says yes and amen to the heavenly record. The gifts and the moving of the Spirit of God say yes to the heavenly record. And the fruit of the Spirit, as you become like God, as that Spirit within you brings forth the fruit of His nature and His character, it is a witness. The next witness in the earth is the water and the blood. And the water and the blood are always in the biblical conversation mixed, whether it's in the rituals of the Old Testament or the crossing of the water at the Red Sea. The Passover is the application of the blood and the passing through the water. The apostle says they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. It's just like your baptism. When Moses sprinkled the people, he mixed blood and water together, and he sprinkled all the people, and he sprinkled the articles of the tabernacle, and water and blood were a witness. Water and blood was upon the people and upon the door. And when you went down in the water in Jesus' name, the water and the blood mixed, and your sins were washed away, because the biblical record declares that your sins are washed away in baptism, and there is no power in the water. But when you get the water and the blood together, then there's power over sin, and there's power over your past, and there's power over your present, and there's power over what you're going to encounter in your future. There's a witness in the earth, and the water and the blood agree, and they witness that the record of God is true, because the record of God says you can go free, and the water and the blood says yes, you can go free, and the record of God says you can walk in power, and the water and the blood agree, and they say yes, you can walk in power, and the record of God says you can get over that, and the water and the blood agree and say yes, I can get over that. Somebody say amen. Is there a witness in the house tonight? Is there a witness? Is there a testimony in the house? Lives are transformed in baptism. Is there an amen in the house? Anybody have a change in your life when you got up out of the water and the name of Jesus was applied to your life and the blood was applied to your life? Is there a witness in the house tonight? My God. The blood still works. They were singing about the blood tonight. Somebody say, the blood still works. Somebody say, I've already been to the water. I've already been baptized. My God, the blood still works. I love it when Sister Bonnie's singing and she said, I plead the blood. And it's like those old timers that used to walk around their house and they used to plead the blood over their children and over their bedrooms and over the house and over the family areas and drive through their city and walk through their neighborhood and plead the blood. I'm telling you, that's not a bad idea for any of us in the house tonight. When you're walking in your life and on an everyday basis, you ought to plead the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus witnesses of the record of God and says it's true in the earth today. The waterway is still real. It brings people out of the bondage of Egypt. The blood is still real. It brings people out of the bondage of sin and cleanses us from all those things that are not like God. The Spirit and the water and the blood witness in the presence of God. They witness on the earth. There are three that bear witness on the earth. In the earth, those three, spirit and water and blood, testify to us of the reality and the truth, the power of the record of God in heaven. But they also will witness for us in the presence of God. They will be a witness for us in the presence of God. Because when we encounter God, the blood says, these are mine. When that angel of death went over Egypt on the night of the Passover, that angel of death would have killed everything in Egypt if there had been no blood on those doorposts. But when that angel saw the blood on the doorpost, the blood said, these are mine. The blood said, these belong to God. The blood said, this is not your place. This is the place of life and strength and blessing. And the death angel had to go over. And so they named it the Passover, because he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood that you have on your life, because you went down in the water in Jesus' name. And there's no other way to get it. You can't get it by believing in your heart. You can't get it by confessing with your mouth. You've got to go down in the water in Jesus' name. You've got to be buried and baptized in his name. And when you do, the blood is applied to your life. And when the death angel comes, or the demon comes, or the devil comes, or the trouble comes, the blood witnesses and the blood says, these belong to God. These are not like those down the street. These are not like those next door. This is the house of God. These belong to God. Somebody clap your hands. Somebody pat yourself and say, I belong to God. The blood witnesses. The blood witnesses. I belong to God. It lets the devil know. It lets my trouble know. It lets my enemy know. It lets my doubts know that I belong to God. The blood testifies. Matthew 7. He said, not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, we've cast out devils in your name. We prophesied in your name. And in your name we've done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Because it's the blood by the water that testifies, that witnesses that this vessel, this man, this woman, they belong to God. It's the blood that tells the tale. It's the blood that stands up in the courtroom of decision when God is looking down on your life. It's the blood that stands up and says, this one belongs to me. I remember, I've got the record, God. It was on a summer night, a hot summer night in 1974. It was in the month of August. It was after a Bible study, and we were just fresh out of a Bible study, and it was about midnight, and they said, do you want to go down in the water in Jesus' name? I want you to know that we were there, and the preacher was there, and the water was there, and there were some little ladies walking around at midnight praying, and we thought that was weird. We didn't really understand that, but there was more there than just humanity. But the record keeper of God was there, and on that night our names were written in the Lamb's book of life, and our names became a part of the record of God. Forever settled in the heavens is the record of God. And the blood said, these are mine. My God, open your mouth tonight and say, I belong to God. I'm the temple of God. I have the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost witnesses that I am the people of God. I have the blood of Jesus on my life. And the blood witnesses I am the people of God. The blood is a witness. The water is a witness. He said, I'm going to look at some people and I'm going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And the difference is the water and the blood and the witness of the Spirit. Now listen to me. That last verse in our text simply says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. This is a companion, perhaps, to that verse we worked on a few weeks ago. If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. I want you to understand something tonight. People in your past may have said, negative and hurtful and damaging things about you, about where you would go and what you would be and what your capacities were and how precious or not you were. But I want you to understand that's the testimony of men. That's the witness of men, but it doesn't stand in the courtroom of God. I want to encourage you tonight that you not receive the witness of men, but rather you receive the witness of God, because the blood witnesses and the Holy Ghost witnesses. You might tell me a sad story about yourself and your life and your prospects and what you anticipate for your future, but I've got some questions for you tonight. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Do you have the blood of Jesus on your life? Well, I want you to stop for a minute. I want you to stop repeating the testimony and the witness of the world around you and the assessment of those that have come into your life to speak negatively about you, or maybe voices from your past. I want you to stop listening to that witness. I want you to know the witness of God is greater. And tonight the blood witnesses and the spirit witnesses and the water witnesses. Somebody say, I've already been through the water. I've already been baptized. Touch somebody by you and say, the blood still works. My God, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Shake somebody by you and say, I got the Holy Ghost of God. The Holy Ghost witnesses to me that I belong to God. Praise God. Now, there's people that don't believe this. There's people in your family that don't believe this. Some of you are married to people that don't believe this. Some of you have to live with folks that don't believe this. There's folks at the job that don't believe this. And in the halls of academia, very few believe this. And in the great and hallowed halls of the government, at every level, there are very few that really believe this that we're talking about tonight. They might believe some version of this, but it's not the record of God that's established in the heavens. But I want you to understand, it doesn't matter if Hollywood believes this, and it doesn't matter if the NBA believes it. It doesn't matter if the man with all the money believes it. It doesn't matter if the boss believes it. It doesn't matter who detracts and who is a skeptic and who is speaking against it. If we receive the witness of men, I want you to hear the word of God tonight. The witness of God is greater. God said, you belong to me. Paul says this, Romans 3, for what if some did not believe? There's always been people that didn't believe. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Say, not a bit. Not in my life. Come on, sit up straight. Sit up straight. You got the weight of the world on your shoulders. Sit up straight. Shake off that lack of confidence. Shake off that nagging doubt. Shake off that nagging thing in the back of your mind that questions whether you're going to make it, whether you're going to live for God. Listen, the blood is witnessing in this house tonight. The water is witnessing in the house tonight. The Holy Ghost is witnessing in the house tonight. And they're all pointing at the record of God. And they're all saying, this is established. You can do this. All you've got to do is engage your will and say yes to God. God forbid, yay, let God be true and every man a liar. Everybody that doesn't believe this is a liar. They're all liars. And God is true. Everybody say, God is true. As it is written, that thou might be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Isaiah opens up the prophetic history of Christ's crucifixion and his mighty sacrifice in Isaiah 53. And he just asks a question. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The power of God, the deliverance of God. Who is it revealed to? It's revealed to those that believe the report of the Lord. But you got to ask yourself a question tonight. Whose report do you believe? Whose report do you believe? Touch your neighbor and say, whose report do you believe? Answer them back and say, we have believed the report of the Lord. My God, I've decided, I've made up my mind. If God tells me, then it's true. Then it's established. Then it's the way things are. I may not understand it. It may be beyond my pay grade. He may tell me some things that I can't even imagine. That's what the Word of God says. It's beyond human capacity. We perceive them by spirit. But whose report have you believed? Do you believe the nagging doubt? Do you believe the voices of your past? Do you believe the community around you? Do you believe those that are engaged in all sorts of negative things at your workplace or in your school? I want you to understand, we've made a decision. We've decided to believe the report of the Lord. It's established in the heavens. It's witnessed of in the earth. And every time I pray in tongues, the witness of God is on me. And every time I repent of my sins and the blood cleanses me afresh and new again, I have an affirmation. I have another witness that the word of God is true. Everybody say, we shall receive the report of the Lord. Somebody say, I believe the witness of the Spirit. Somebody say, I believe the witness of the water and the blood. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to clap your hands for a minute and just lift up a voice. Samuel, are you coming tonight or are you Lindsay? You got babies? All right. Been doing a good job, Samuel. I appreciate you, man. Sennacherib is immortalized in the Word of God. Kind of a sad thing because he's never right with God. He's the emperor of Assyria. Shelley immortalizes him in poetry and says, the Assyrian came down like a wolf on the fold, and his cohorts were gleaming in silver and gold. That night, an angel killed 180,000 of them. One angel. But before the battle and before the matter was settled in the minds of humanity, Assyria was the kingdom in the earth that was rival to Babylon. And Assyria is who came down and took Israel into captivity, the 10 tribes of Israel. And in the days of King Hezekiah, I don't know the correct pronunciation of his name. I've always called him Rabshak. Sounds like Ribshack. But Rabshak was the spokesman for Sennacherib, and he came down to Israel and he brought a letter from the king. And he said, now don't you think that your God is going to deliver you? I mean, Hezekiah, look around you. Where is the nation that has stood against us? Where are those gods that have overwhelmed the gods of Assyria? Show me the list of those that have survived. And he brings a compelling piece of logic. He says, we have overwhelmed almost the known world, and you're just a little tiny nation. And you don't even get along with yourself. You've had a revolution, and there's two of you now. There's Judah and there's Israel. And he brought that letter and said, you listen to me. We're coming down, and you better get yourself in line. You tell elders, he comes out and says it to all the elders and all the people that are listening. Don't let this preacher make you think otherwise. Don't let this king cause you to think that your God's going to deliver you, because all the other nations have bowed before mighty Assyria. Hezekiah takes that letter into the house of God, and he opens it up on the altar of God. He said, God, this is what they're saying. This is what my world is saying. This is what the enemy is saying. For us, Peter said, he's a roaring lion. You can't live for God. Look how feeble and pitiful you are. And he reminds you of all your failures and all your weakness and all your past. And he threatens you in that big, threatening voice. But you need to bring that missive, that letter, that statement, that report into the house of God. And you need to open it up like the good king of Israel and say, Lord, look at what they're saying. God, they're not talking about me, because if it were me all by myself, they'd steamroll me. God, they're not talking about me, because if it was me, I wouldn't stand a chance. We'd be like Jehoshaphat standing out before God with his wife and the children and all the people and saying, Lord, we don't have any strength and we don't know what to do. We're pitiful. But Lord, our eyes are on you. We're looking to you, God. You need to bring that thing that's rattling your cage, that nagging doubt, that tormenting thought, that destructive impulse, that thing that is knocking on the door of your soul and your mind and trying to tear down the witness of what God has established for your life. God has a plan for you, and I'm telling you, it's a good plan. God has a destiny in mind for you, and I want you to hear it tonight. There's a good destiny that God has in mind for you. He said, I know the plans that I have for you. They're plans for good. Praise God. This is not an isolated incident. Assyria came against Israel. Babylon came against Israel. Rome and Greece, they were a thoroughfare for conquering armies. But do you know that all of those nations and all of those empires are just backwater third world countries tonight? Iran and Iraq and Egypt and Italy, and they're tourist traps, and they don't have any power on the world stage at all. None of them do. But you know who's still standing hunkered down there on that little sliver of land that God gave to Abraham? And they're a nuclear power. And I'm just telling you, they're going to go thump the daylights out of Iran before this thing is over. And before it's over, God's going to stand up with them, and they're going to destroy the marching armies of Russia and all of those Arab nations that come down against them. Why? Because the report of God is true, and the witness of God is true. And God said, I'm going to give you this land, Abraham, and I'm going to write it down in my courthouse. And the only reason that Assyria ever had any victory there, and the only reason that Rome had victory there, or Greece had victory there, the only reason that little Israel was ever subjected to any of those was because she crumbled within herself, and she didn't believe the report of the Lord. And she began to leave the ways of God, and she forgot that she came out by the water. She forgot that she came out by the blood. She forgot that the Spirit of God, like a tower of cloud and fire, led her out of Egypt and out through the wilderness and all the way to the promise of God. You got to remember who you are. You got to remember what God has done for you. You need to remember tonight that you've been through the water, that you've been through the blood. You got to remember tonight that God has established His Spirit inside of you, and who you are, and what the record says about all of those, what the witness of God. You know, little Israel, born on the wings of prophecy, has become a fixture again. You know what she is? She is a witness. She witnesses. She's saying, look what God has done. She's saying, we've been conquered 400 times, and look at us. All our conquerors are destroyed, and we're still alive. She never would have been conquered once had she kept her mind on God. She is a witness tonight, but the witness is really the blood and the water and the Spirit of God. Because that's the power of God that cemented her into covenant and made her the people of God. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Let's lift up every hand, every voice. The blood still works. It still identifies you as the people of God. The Holy Ghost still works. There's a witness in this house tonight. Somebody needs to come to this altar and say, I belong to God. The blood says so. The water says so. The Spirit says so. The record of God says so. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says. I believe the report. I believe the witness of God. You say, well, preacher, you sound awfully confident in that. Well, you just wait. You just wait till we all stand in the judgment hall of God, and the books are opened in another book, and God's records are open, bare, and plain to everyone. And the record of God is going to be made true to everyone in that gathering We are the people of the Most High God. We are the people of God. We've come out by the water, and we've come out by the blood, and we're filled with the Spirit. And there's no devil, there's no demon, there's no problem, there's no past that can affect that if I will keep my eyes on Him. Praise God. Take somebody's hand or lay your hand on somebody tonight and tell them, I belong to God. I am a child of God. Tell them, I'm about to pray for you, and the power of God is about to touch your life. An anointing is about to come down on you because I'm about to pray an anointed prayer. Let's pray together tonight. Let's pray together tonight. Hey! Somebody say hallelujah. Mighty God, mighty. You got any juice left? Come on, come on. Samuel, can you do this? Can you take him back where he was? When he said, you should have been there when I prayed through. Can you do that tonight? Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I've already been through the water, and I've already been baptized. Now, when he sings, this is interactive. I want you to sing with him. Turn to somebody and say, you should have been there when I prayed through. And when he sings, I went down to the water, and the water was cold. And it chilled my body, but not my soul. You need to sing that with him a little bit tonight, all right? You should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too. From the top of my head, sole of my feet, felt the Spirit moving all over me. You should have been there when I prayed through. Believe I've been redeemed. Follow me down to the Jordan stream. Stepped in the water, water was cold, chilled my body but not my soul. Now this is a place where it's got to be interactive, so we're going to do that again, but you got to turn to your neighbor and you got to say, you don't believe I've been redeemed, follow me down. Okay, let's do that again. Ready? You don't believe I've been redeemed. Follow me down to the Jordan stream. Stepped in the water, water was cold.
cold. Chilled my body, but not my soul. You don't believe I've been redeemed.
Follow me down the door to see.
Down to the Jordan stream, stepped in the water, water was cold, chilled my body but not my soul.
You don't believe I've been redeemed, follow me down to the Jordan stream.
Should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too. Top of my head, sole of my feet, felt the Spirit moving all over me.
You should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too. Top of my head,
tell your neighbor tonight,
felt the Spirit moving all over me.
You should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire and the Holy Ghost too. Top of my head, sole of my feet, felt the Spirit moving all over me. You should have been there when I prayed through, when I broke through, when I broke loose, when I broke out, when I broke free, when I got. You should have been there the night the Holy Ghost came down and broke every chain, took every weight. But baby, if you weren't there to see me that night, just take a look, because I'm about to break loose all over again. Come on, somebody break free right now. You should have been there when I prayed through. Church was on fire, Holy Ghost too.
Top of my head, soul of my feet, felt the Spirit moving all over me.
You don't believe I've been redeemed.
Follow me down to the Jordan stream. Stepped in the water was cold. Chilled my body, but now I'm a soul.
You don't believe I've been redeemed. Follow me down to the Jordan stream. Step in the water was cold. Chill my body, but not my soul. Come on, did it chill your soul tonight? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Water was cold. Chill my body, but not my soul.
Follow me down to the Jordan stream.
Stepped in the water, water was cold. Chill my body, but not my soul. You don't believe I've been redeemed? Follow me down to the Jordan stream. Stepped in the water, water was cold. Chilled my body, but not my soul.
You don't believe I've been redeemed? Follow me down to the Jordan stream. Stepped in the water.
Estado ahí cuando yo fui bautizado, aleluya. Hubieras estado ahí, aleluya, cuando iba camino al infierno, pero el Señor me derrimió en su nombre, aleluya. ¿Cuántos están en la sangre del Señor en este día?
Turn to your neighbor and say what he said. My God, you know what's happening in this house tonight? The blood is witnessing. The water is witnessing. The Holy Ghost is witnessing. Turn to your neighbor and say, you should have been there when I prayed through. The church was on fire. The Holy Ghost too. Top of my head, sole of my feet. Anybody in the house glad you're covered by the blood? Glad you're born again of water and spirit? Anybody glad to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? My God, my God. No other voice. We believe the record of God. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. We believe the report of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Clap your hands once more. Lift up your voice and magnify God. Hey, yes. Oh. Oh, you ought to just shout a little bit. Just shout a little bit. Just shake yourself a little bit. Just shake yourself a little bit. Yeah.